This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our yearly year-end income tax tips program. We're going to do another one when we get a little bit closer to April 15th in February. But we're going to be talking now about income tax planning to help reduce taxes on the 2015 tax return. My guest is David Hellman, a great friend of this program and of you, this public radio listeners to this program. David Hellman is a specialist in taxation law, also in estate planning, trust, and probate law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. His office is in San Rafael, California. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible, by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which certifies specialties in 11 fields of law besides taxation law, appellate law, bankruptcy law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. David, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Great to have you here. One of the things that you and I agreed on is that we would talk about things that people overlook or make mistakes. And also, for those of you who are listening to the program live, I want to let you know, and that's all of you who are listening to it live, we are doing a Call a Lawyer night tonight, and I have several attorneys in the conference room here at KLW. If you want to talk to attorneys on criminal law, on landlord-tenant law, employment law, tax law, please call in 800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. If you have questions on workers' compensation law, on family law, or let me see what else we have here, on employment law, if you will call in and give your name and phone number, I will have the attorneys who specialize in those areas call you back either tomorrow or the next day. David, you talk about, in terms of what you want to get across to the listeners, incorrect reporting of estimated payments and extension payments. What is this?
All right. Well, for those who are self-employed, have their own businesses, and make quarterly estimated payments, if you are inputting that data either onto an input sheet for a preparer to prepare your return or you're preparing your own return, it's important that you are very accurate in terms of when you paid it in, the amount you paid in, and be sure that if on April 15th you file an extension and you make a payment with that extension, don't count it as an estimated payment. And sometimes I've found many clients that do that, and it's you have to check back in records to see whether or not that happened, because if you claim it as an estimated payment and you claimed it also as an extension payment, then essentially you're double claiming that amount.
And so, the IRS doesn't like that, huh?
Well, no, they send you a notice saying you need to send in a little more money because you can't get credit for it both ways.
Oh, my gosh, incredible. For those of you who are listening to this program live, and we're doing this on November 18th, I welcome you to call in and with your questions, your comments for David Hellman. That is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Anything else on that, or can we go to the next?
No, I think we can go to the next one.
Yeah, the next one is attempting to prepare your own returns when not experienced enough to do it right. Oh, come on, David. We all can do our own returns,
well,
can't we?
Well, even with the software that you can buy out there, and there's advertisements on some of them that, you know, they will run you through all the steps. If you make a mistake, it's garbage in, garbage out, like the old computer saying, and that's really what you're doing. So you really have to have a good understanding of what it is that you are putting in, and then before you print out or e-file your tax return, you really need to thoroughly review it to see that it just looks right and it feels good, that the numbers that you know you made as salary are in the line up at the top on line one that says salary and wages, you know, and it doesn't show up somewhere else. You just really need to be very careful about those things. And I have seen over time that a lot of people who think they can do it just can't.
What recommendation then do you have in terms of someone wanting to make sure they don't mess up? They would like to do it themselves, as a lot of people would like to. But if there's a high percentage or a significant percentage of people who are making mistakes, what do you recommend?
Well, have somebody review it.
Okay.
You know, get a professional to review it, you know, or tax preparer service. You may have to pay, you know, you're going to pay something. There are free services for low-income people. The government sponsors that, both the Internal Revenue Service and the Franchise Tax Board here in California. So you can have them prepare returns for you because they get volunteers who will do that, and you may not need to go through this at all.
Is this kind of service you're talking about, there is a service through the IRS?
Yes. It's basically for low-income taxpayers.
And this is throughout the country?
Yes.
Because we are now, this program now is on the NPR satellite, and we are going to other states where people are listening to the program either live or delayed.
Yeah.
So what can they accept? When you say low income, what are we talking about?
Well, it's generally poverty line, slightly above. But basically call in, find the number.
Go to
the IRS website
yeah.
in your state. You know, find the number in your state. Ask them if... you know, you qualify for the assistance and then take advantage of it.
If you qualify for the assistance, can you go into a local IRS office? Is that the idea?
Well, they have centers. It's not every office,
you.
But okay. you've got to go to where they have the practitioners doing
it. And do they do this, the centers that you're talking about, are they just set up, let's say, a few weeks or so before April 15th? Is that the idea?
Well, they're basically through the early tax season, so
okay.
it'd be typically February to April.
I see. All right. Okay. All right. So we want to be, if those of us who want to do our own tax returns, we want to be awful careful.
Yes, you want to be very careful.
Very careful.
And take a good look at what you've done to see that it just looks right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have a sense of what you made, what your expenditures were, and just figuring it out, looking at it, say, does this make sense?
If people are obviously trying to save money by doing it themselves, they don't want to pay a CPA, they don't want to pay a certified specialist in taxation like you, certainly in California, or a tax attorney, wherever that tax attorney may be throughout the country, they don't want to spend that kind of money. On the other hand, if they mess up,
right,
they're going to be spending much more money.
Well, right.
Possibly.
Yes.
Yeah. And in dealing with the IRS, which probably is not a very pleasant experience.
Usually not.
No, I wouldn't think so. You also have no characterizing valid income and deductions properly. What do you mean by that?
Okay. Sometimes people will have some expenditure that is appropriate to take as a deduction, but it's put in the wrong place or not called in the appropriate characterization. And similarly for income, I've seen, you know, sometimes people will mistake an annuity payment and put it up as a salary.
How do you characterize an annuity payment?
Well, it's basically as a pension.
It's a pension payment. But you would pay tax on that anyway,
right. I mean,
it's
possible that it's just income and it would go somewhere else. But yes, you will pay tax on it. It's just you're putting it in the wrong place.
And if you are receiving a payment from your pension, that also is, let's say, for example, and you correct me if I'm wrong, let's say someone received $5,000 a year from a pension. Well, that's a very small amount, obviously, for a pension. How is that tax compared to someone, or let me make it more realistic. What if someone is getting a pension of $40,000 a year compared to them perhaps making $40,000 a year in a job? How is that taxed? The same way?
Well, they are taxed the same way. The job wages are subject, though, to self-employment tax,
yes.
Well, or to FICA and to Medicare and
yes.
to state SDI if you're in California or some other disability or what other programs various states have. So Those, though, are taken out by the employer, so you don't have to worry about that. You just report it. But basically, they're all taxed as ordinary income. So for that purpose, there is no difference.
Okay. All right. By the way, again, everyone, if you're listening to this program live, and we are live in the Bay Area, we're live on the Internet at www.kow.org. We're also live on the NPR satellite. If you would like to call in, ask a question of my guest, David Hellman, a certified specialist in federal income tax law. The number toll-free is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255, and we'll get you your calls in just a few minutes. If you'd like to speak, we do this every month. We do what's called a Call a Lawyer Night. So if you're listening to the live program, and this is on November 18th, you can speak to one of several attorneys by calling 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. If you call in on any of the topics of workers' comp, criminal law, legal malpractice law, family law, landlord-tenant law, employment law, tax law, patent law, there will be someone who will either talk with you this evening, or if you'll leave your name and phone number for workers' comp, for family law, and for employment law, I will see that experienced attorneys in those areas call you back either tomorrow or Friday. So that's what we have for Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. And on the air with David Hellman, pardon me, and me, I'm getting so choked up over taxes, David. But I don't do my own taxes, thank God. Yes. If you want to talk to David Hellman, 866-798-8255. This is another one that I thought was very interesting that you alerted me to. Reporting items of income that are not income, such as gifts, and reporting items as deductions that are not valid, such as gifts, expenditures that should be capitalized and depreciated for real property. This is probably a topic all of its own, but briefly, what's that all about?
Okay, if somebody gives you $10,000 as a gift, just writes you a check, annual
gift. I'll accept it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But that's not income. It's also not deductible to the person who gave it to you.
Ah, okay.
Now, if you inherit a retirement plan account or you inherit an installment payment, then those items are actually subject to tax because they're what is usually called income in respect of a decedent. Mm-hmm. And those items are taxable. So you need to know what you've inherited, treat it appropriately. But generally, somebody who just makes you a gift, if your parents or a friend, nice friend, mm-hmm. writes you a check, that's not taxable income.
You don't have to. All right. So that is a gift. However, for someone making that gift to you, if it's a family member, let's say your parents are limited by how much they can give you every year, aren't they?
Well, there is an annual exclusion amount which applies to everybody. So a donor can make this annual exclusion amount, which this year and next year is $14,000.
Per year.
Per person.
Per person per year. All right.
Per person per year. So they can write as many of those checks as they want to as many people as they want without having to file a gift tax return.
Really? Oh,
if you go over that amount, then you have to file a gift tax return. Mm-hmm. But when you write the check, it's not tax deductible for income tax purposes. So you don't get a deduction or any benefit mm-hmm. for that mm-hmm. gift. The only types of gifts that you'll get those deductions for are charitable contributions.
That's interesting. Fascinating. All right. Let's do this. Amy, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So I have a daughter who is in college, and I am divorced from her dad, and I just got married this year. And my question is, how do I still, or do I still qualify to file for head of household to claim her as a dependent?
How old is your daughter?
She's 18, but she's wholly dependent on me, I promise you.
She is an adult. She's 18, did you say?
Yeah, she's 18.
But she is totally dependent on you, and you want to know how you can file as a head of household, is that right?
Well, I'm asking, is that possible?
Is it possible? All right, and you've not done this before, Amy?
No, because I wasn't married until this year. I've always been a head of household.
Okay, all right. Are you working?
Yes, I work full time.
Okay, and you are married, recently married, remarried. Is that right?
Yes, I recently remarried, and my husband also works full time.
Okay. Right. Do you have any questions for her, or can you respond?
No, I can respond.
Turn your radio back up. Amy, thanks for calling.
Yeah, all right. So the answer is no, you cannot file as head of household because you are married. So the choice when you're married is either to file a joint return or to file married filing separately. Mm-hmm. You have those two choices. Now, you can take your daughter as a dependent on either of those returns.
Yes.
So that's not a problem, and the married will usually give you a better result than the head of household anyway, but in this case, maybe, maybe not. But there's no alternative anyway. You're married. You have to file either married jointly or married separately.
If Amy files separately, you're saying she can take her daughter as a dependent?
As long as she's providing more than half of her support.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully that will help you, Amy. Good luck to you, by the way. Let's come back to one of the things I know you wanted to talk about, the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
We all know that Affordable Care Act.
Right.
At least we've heard about it.
Yeah, right. It's or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it.
What's the problem there,
all right,
if
so
there is any?
Well, here's the issue. If you are going through a provider in California, we've got one agency that provides the service. Other states have, some of them have theirs, or you go through a federal group. But if you get a, because of your income level, get a premium credit, when you do your tax return, you have to reconcile that premium credit with the actual amount of income that you received. So if you went in and received a premium credit based on a lower amount of income, then you will end up having to pay back some of that premium credit.
Could you give us a simple example of this?
Sure. I mean, if you go in and you say, I've got $15,000 as my annual income.
Okay. All right.
And they say, all right, we will give you, and this is not an accurate number,
all
but
right,
let's just say they say, we'll give you a $600 a month credit, and you have
okay
to pay $250 a month towards the insurance, and we'll pay $600.
Okay.
So if it comes to the end of the year and you actually made $20,000 instead of the $15,000 that you told them, then you will end up having to repay part of that $600 credit that they allowed you every month.
What kind of, what percentage of the $600
it depends
credit?
It depends on the amount that you earn and what the table
is. So you have to be really careful.
You have to be careful. And so one of the points is that if you have discretionary income that maybe you could put off to the following year, then you need to be very careful about what you take in as income, and maybe if you can delay receiving it to keep yourself in this category so you don't have to repay the credit.
And if you delay this income, And legitimately so. You're not doing it under the table. If you are, let's say, working for someone else and you say, could you possibly not pay me for the next 2 months this year, but pay me that next
year?
Right,
or if I'm entitled to a bonus instead of giving it to me this year, give it to me in January.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Okay. Well, that's something for people to
so
think
be
about.
So be careful, because sometimes if your income is pushed up to a certain level and you get a dollar more, you can be in big trouble and have to repay the whole credit.
A dollar more
if you go over the max.
That's an awfully expensive dollar.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
so you want to be very careful. Now, they encourage you to report to them every time there's a change in circumstance or a change in your estimated income so that they can adjust this premium credit.
When you say they, who is they?
Well, the state agency that you go through or the federal agency
for the premium credit,
yes.
All right. So, again, everyone, I want to invite you to take advantage of the fact that we have David Hellman here. David has gone through many hoops to be what's called a certified specialist in taxation law. By that, I mean he had to pass the California State Bar to begin with to become a lawyer. He had to then work for several years and then take another bar exam to become a certified specialist and have people say, hey, this guy should really be a certified specialist. It's not a simple thing to do. So he is a certified specialist in taxation law, and I want to give you, it's a little early, I understand, to be talking about tax issues, but some of you may have been scratching your head about certain things, now is the time to take advantage of calling in. David will join us again in February before April 15th, 2016, to talk about, as we get closer to the big tax day of April 15th. But in any event, here's our toll-free number. Anywhere, wherever you are in the United States, if you're listening to this program live on November 18th, if you have a question, join us, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. For those of you who might have questions for our regular Call a Lawyer night with a variety of legal areas, please call in. In the areas of workers' comp, family law, and employment law, if you call in, leave your name and phone number on any of those areas, I will have the attorneys who have volunteered to call you back either tomorrow or the next day. In the studio right now, we have attorneys who handle patent laws, lemon law, tax law. We have landlord-tenant law, and we have criminal law. And so I encourage you to take advantage of them now by calling 1-800-525-9917. No obligation on your part whatsoever. We do this every month, and we're doing this on November 18th because you can imagine I'm not going to have anybody here for Thanksgiving Eve. So that's right. Why we're doing it tonight. So take advantage of the fact that I've got these good people here. And, of course, they come here. They're called lawyer people come here because I serve pizza.
Right.
Why else would they be here? Okay, Dave, welcome to the program.
I'm trying to imagine a Thanksgiving pizza now that you
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Thanksgiving a pizza, yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine what it'd be like if I'm doing a program on Thanksgiving Eve? But, Dave, what's your question?
Okay. The question is this. I'm trying to make this more general. I don't want it specifically for me.
Okay.
But I've had a part of, you were talking about annuities. I've had an annuity coming into my, as an income source that has, it's fine, it's paid out, it's last, it's stopped, it's dead, it's history. Is there any specific form or anything that I have to show to provide that it's, because it's gone, there's going to be no more?
When did it end, Dave?
Last month.
Oh, last month. And how long have you been receiving the annuity?
Years.
Many years.
Yeah, I knew that it was going to end. I just wasn't sure whether it was going to be this month or next. And it is this month, and that's fine. Okay. It's all well and good.
Okay.
But
all right.
I need to know, you know, how. But my account is used to seeing this, you know, year after year, and this year it's going to be a lot shorter, and it's not, you know, from here on it's gone. So I'm just wondering I don't know if I expected bells and whistles or what when the thing was over, but, you know, just the check stopped coming, and that's it. I didn't get nothing to sign or anything like that.
Well, if I presume that you are receiving a 1099-R every year.
I will, yes.
Okay. So that's the answer. That form will have a lesser amount on it that it has in prior years because you've received less.
Right.
And then next year you just won't receive one.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes away and you can just point out to your tax preparer that this annuity payment has stopped, so don't be looking for the 1099-R.
Now, I'm thinking this is for not only me but for others. I have a small account. I mean, it's medium small. It's in the six figures, but it's an investment account. But besides Social Security and disability, those are my two actual income sources, and then the account I'm just kind of trying to grow. I'm wondering at which point do I really start thinking it's about doing my own taxes, or is that really a strictly individual question?
I think that's a really tough question, Dave. In my opinion, I feel that with a question like that, you really need to talk with either a certified public accountant or a specialist in taxation, as David Hillman is. Let me do this. I want to give you, for example, the Board of Legal Specialization number in case you'd like to find out who a certified specialist may be in your area. To me, as a consumer advocate and a lawyer myself, and having been a deputy DA in consumer protection for 30 years with San Mateo County, I really want people to not try to be too cheap on what they're doing in terms of protecting themselves. So here you are. If you're ready to write, and everybody, when you listen to this program, be ready to write. Have a piece of paper, a pencil, or a pen, because I like to give some numbers and websites. The Board of Legal Specialization number, if you want to find out who the specialists are in your area, 415-538-2100. 415-538-2100. That's the statewide number. The website.
Thank you. No, and that may be. I may never want to actually.
Let me finish. Let me finish, Dave. Let me finish, Dave. If you would.
My income is lower now.
Okay, yeah. Dave. I've got to finish this because we're getting close to the end of the half hour, which is the statewide version of the program. The website for the Board of Legal Specialization, if you'd like to find out who the certified specialists are in your area in the state of California, www.calbar.ca.gov, and go to the left upper part of your screen of your computer and look for legal specialists, and that'll tell you who the when you put in where you live, what county you live in, it'll tell you who the certified specialists are. Dave, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. We are, by the way, everyone, coming to the end of the statewide version of the program. And the way this works, the first half hour is recorded. We then send it out to 15 other stations in California, which air the first half hour in next week. Now, for those of you listening to the live program on the Internet or in the Bay Area or on the NPR satellite, we will continue for another half hour. So I hope you will stay with us and call in and ask your questions or make your comments. All right, I want to give the number again for those of you, number of people want to talk to you, Dave. For on the air, the toll-free number to speak with David Hillman and me, if you're listening on the live program, which is November 18th, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you would like to talk with any of the lawyers who we have here in the conference room at KALW in San Francisco, for Call a Lawyer, that number is 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. Let me tell you who is here, and you can talk with off the air, no obligation on your part whatsoever. For criminal law, certified specialist Jeff Hayden, who's also the president of the San Mateo County Bar Association. For landlord-tenant law, Tad Devlin. For tax law, real estate, he's also a real estate broker, Frank Adam. And for patent law, aviation law, lemon law is Ron Rohde. Now, tomorrow, if you're having creditors chasing you, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available at an 800 number. Be ready to take that down. He'll be available tomorrow, Thursday, November 19th, from 8:30 a.m. till noon, and that number, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. Again, no obligation on your part whatsoever. If you have questions about workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan will call you back either tomorrow or Friday. If you have questions about family law, certified specialist Janet Lee Frankel will call you back tomorrow or Friday. If you have questions about employment law attorneys Tom Lenz or Scott Stillman will call you back tomorrow or Friday. And all you need to do is call our Call a Lawyer number, 1-800-525-9917. Give your name and phone number, and I'll see that these attorneys who are not here tonight will return your calls. All right, one more thing, and then we're going to come back to the questions. Support for KOW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, obviously if you're in the San Francisco area or the Bay Area, and if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service, can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County, California, and for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. The San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service, and that's 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county in California has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what your problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in that legal area. They'll set you up for a half an hour consultation, and with minor exception, for a half an hour consultation with an attorney set up, an attorney appointment set up by the lawyer referral service, you'll pay between $25 and $35. It's a great, great consumer service. The money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep that going. So if you want to talk to David Hellman, 866-798-8255. And we have right now, let me see, we have Kalia. I hope I pronounced your name correct.
Hi, it's actually Kalia.
Kalia, go ahead. You're on the air.
That's okay. Hi, everybody. I just want to thank you for talking with me, first of all. I have a couple of questions. One of my questions is I set up estimated taxes this year, but I was only able to pay one of the coupons because of unexpected kind of expenses that I had. And I'm wondering if I'm going to be penalized for that or if I just go ahead and pay my taxes altogether, you know, at the end of the year. And then my second question is I have a legal marijuana card, and I'm wondering if I can claim what I've spent for health issues.
You got that, David?
Yes.
All right. What I'd like you to do, Kalia, can you turn your radio back up?
My radio is not on. I'm on Bluetooth right now.
Oh, so you have to stay on the phone, do you?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I can switch it off if we're done, you know, and you can answer the questions. That's fine. But I can stay on the line as well. It's up to you.
Well, I want you to just listen then to what Mr. Hellman has to say.
Okay. As far as the estimated tax payments go, if you end up being underpaid, then there will be a penalty, and it's equivalent of interest at about 4%, so it's not huge.
No.
For the underpayment amounts that you should have paid each quarter. And what you do is there's another estimated time coming up in January 15th, and if you can pay any in then it would be helpful. You indicated you were unable to do it, though, because of higher deductible expenses. So if that, in fact, is the case, you may not have that much liability where your estimates were based on, so you can see that. As far as medical marijuana, that is not a medical tax-deductible item.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government does not, you know, still feels that marijuana is a criminal drug, and therefore they don't recognize it as an item that they would allow a medical deduction for.
Yeah, even if you get a prescription
even
from your doctor,
right.
A legitimate prescription from your doctor.
Correct.
Okay. Kalia, good luck to you. Thanks very much for calling. All right, everybody, let me also let you know again that if you will call a lawyer night number, 1-800-525-9917, we have a number of people who want to talk to David, but also one of the attorneys here for Call a Lawyer, Frank Adam, is a CPA, a tax law attorney. You can call and speak to Frank Adam on that. So again, the Call a Lawyer number is 1-800-525-9917. If you're not able to speak with David Hellman. And we are going to talk now with, let me see, John, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Simple question. I'm getting disability payments from the VA. Is that taxable as ordinary income?
Generally, disability payments are not taxable.
No.
So you should talk to the VA and make sure that what you are receiving is non-taxable, but generally they are not.
Okay, great.
Is that all you had?
That's all I got.
Hey, good luck, John.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye. All right, we've got Marilyn. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi.
My husband inherited part of a property on Martha's Vineyard, which has now been sold, and he got 3 Schedule K-1 forms with various amounts on that. And I want to know, is this going to put us in a higher tax bracket? Is it considered income? And what about the Massachusetts tax?
Okay. Well, the K-1s should have an indication on them of the category of income. Presumably, it's capital gains is going to show up because that's one of the categories there.
Yeah, it says capital gains.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that will definitely, well, capital gains are taxed at, depending upon the amount. For federal purposes, some of them are taxed at zero for very low-income people.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you've got 15% and then 20% when you get up to $250,000 for a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends, but you definitely will be owing income tax on what is received based on the amounts on that. Now, given that it was in Massachusetts, you will also have to file a Massachusetts tax return. And California will also expect you to report the amount, but you can get a credit going either way as far as whether you pay Massachusetts tax. California tax is generally higher than Massachusetts, so you possibly could take the credit here or take it on California for what's paid in Massachusetts. So you need to look at the local rules for Massachusetts as to whether or not when an asset is sold there, they will allow the credit to the state of residence.
Marilyn, you and your husband, though, live here in California. This is your residence, right?
Right, and we go to the IRS and pay our taxes with AARP. All seniors can do that. It's free.
Right, so you're going to need to have somebody, though, that's going to help you with, with the Massachusetts tax at the same time that you do your California and the federal.
Have you had, do you have an accountant or have you had any help in preparing tax returns in the past, Marilyn, you and your husband?
Well, I have, but they've always made mistakes.
Really?
So I trust AARP, IRS, where I can also look over their shoulder and see what's happening.
Well, good.
I got this information from a firm called Vineyard Tax Matters Incorporated, and I'm wondering if I can trust them.
Well, hey, I don't want to start saying something like that. I have never heard of this outfit myself.
No, it's in Martha's Vineyard, and so maybe they can tell me about the Massachusetts tax.
My guess is they will not because they don't want to be providing tax advice because they could have legal liability. So what you need to do is go to your AARP person at the IRS office and see if they can help you on this. And if not, then you'll have to get somebody else who will.
Marilyn, stop, please. We're trying to give you some direction. And what I highly recommend to you, because I am concerned about you and your husband not making mistakes, you know, if you and your husband received a fair amount of money from this transaction you've been talking about,
it's a small amount.
Well, what do you call a small amount?
It's going to be about $40,000 plus.
Well, would it be worth it to you to spend a few hundred dollars to talk to someone who knows what he or she is doing? That's how I think you should look at this. Instead of making a mistake and instead of wondering and instead of just doing it yourself or through the AARP at the IRS office, I think it's worth it for you to spend, to invest some money, and it's probably tax deductible also, and make sure that you're doing the right thing.
Well, we don't take deductions, but I'm thinking of, now that you mention it, of calling Massachusetts.
Well, I think so too. So that's your homework.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And you better report back to me what you've done. Good luck. Take care, my dear. All right. Elizabeth, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, thank you. Are you ready for my question?
Oh, are we ready? Go ahead.
Okay. I'm 66, and I get about $800 a month from Social Security, and I'm wondering, how much am I allowed to make? I'm also still working part-time. How much am I allowed to make before I have to pay taxes?
Well, you have to pay taxes on whatever you're earning.
Yeah.
From your wages or self-employment.
I'm self-employed, yes.
Okay. Social Security will generally kick in, and there are exceptions, but around $25,000, then part of your Social Security will start to become taxable. And if you have enough income, then up to 85% of the Social Security will be taxable.
Up to 85%
of the Social Security will be taxable,
but not at 85%.
Just as your ordinary income.
I want to make sure I heard that correctly.
Right.
Does that help you, Elizabeth?
Yeah. So I can make about $25,000.
That's what you're making
before any of the Social Security would be taxable.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. That answers it, and it's very helpful, your service.
Thank you. Now, you also
have to look at other sources of income. So if you had any interest or dividends, that also counts in the $25,000 calculation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you very much for calling. All right, if you'd like to speak with David Hellman, a specialist in taxation law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the toll-free number 866-798-8255 on your legal rights. If you'd like to speak to any of our attorneys for Call a Lawyer at 800-525-9917, they are ready, willing, and able if you're listening to this program live on Wednesday, November 18th. And I want to thank them very much for being here. Jeff Hayden, certified specialist in criminal law. Landlord-tenant Tad Devlin. Tax law, real estate, and real estate broker Frank Adam. And patent law, aviation law, lemon law, Ron Rohde. And I want to let you know that if you have questions in the area of workers' compensation law, family law, or employment law, if you will call in and leave your name and phone number, I will have Alice O'Sullivan call you back and talk to you about workers' comp. I will have Janet Frankel call you back about family law, and I will have either Tom Lenz or Scott Stillman call you back about employment law. So take advantage of this. It's great. And for those of you who are, let's say, overwhelmed by creditors, Leon Baer, a certified specialist, will be available tomorrow, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar in bankruptcy law. He'll be available tomorrow, Thursday, November 19th, from 8:30 a.m. to noon, at 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and you get a voicemail, leave your name and phone number, say you listen to your legal rights, and Mr. Baer will call you back. So that's available to you, no obligation, either tonight for Call a Lawyer or with respect to Mr. Baer. This is a public service that these attorneys are performing. Let me see. We've got Kate. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. This goes back a long time. My grandfather bought in Colorado, invested in oil and gas wells. Now, this was a working interest, so there was an oil company that was doing it, and my grandfather, along with some other people, put in the money to develop the wells. So this is the flip side of a royalty. So the royalty, the person owns the land, and they get money from the oil company for that. This is, functionally, this was part of the oil company's investment. And so I inherited this, a very small fraction of this working interest, on the order of 40 years ago. And there was a small income from that for a number of years. And then the oil company stopped production and started, quote-unquote, redeveloping the wells. And in the process, building up an enormous debt that I understand I don't have to pay. And bit by bit, now they're in production again, and they're producing a little bit of oil and gas. So during the time that it has not been producing income, every year I've gotten a form from the state, from the oil and gas company, saying that they paid 1% severance tax, which was deductible. And about 2 years ago, the oil company sold its interest to a smaller firm, and I stopped getting this piece of paper. And so I called up and said, what's going on? And they were not paying the severance tax anymore. And I started doing some investigation and discovered that the severance tax is not 1%. It depends on the county that the wells are in, and it's more than 1%. And so we have a backup of, I don't know, 20-odd years of unpaid taxes amount that I'm not really sure what it is. And meanwhile, the severance tax is not being paid, and there's no income from this, from my standpoint. So in other words, somewhere on the oil company's book, there's income and outgo, which none of which comes to me. So all I've gotten out of this was a deduction on the order of, up to maybe $300 of severance tax paid per year.
Kate, stop, if you would, please. Right. This is a very complicated thing I think you're talking about. Where do you live?
I live in Berkeley.
Okay, so you're in Alameda County.
Uh-huh.
You do not have an accountant? You do not have someone
I have an accountant, and actually I've never done my taxes myself, and I'm in
okay. Have you talked with your accountant about this?
Not about this. I have talked to an accountant.
Oh, so this is a brand new wrinkle.
It seems basically what you need to do is to find out if you have personal liability for this severance tax. You probably do not because you're not the operator. If you do not have any personal liability, then it's not a problem for you.
Okay.
But if you do have personal liability, then they should be telling you every year what you should be contributing.
Who should she try to find?
Initially to the company
I tried that. I tried that. They even said, and my reading of the law, and I spent some time looking at this, was that they have to pay that 1%, the nominal 1%. They're saying, no, we don't. And
You might try calling somebody in Colorado that is the agency responsible for collecting that tax and see what they say.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good idea, Kate.
Okay.
Good luck to you. And also, I would highly recommend to you, if whoever your tax preparer is not sure of this also, I think it, and David, you tell me whether or not you agree with me, I think it's very wise to get another opinion, and I'm a great believer that people deal with specialists in taxation, and that's why I've given the phone number for the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, and you can find out if you want to contact the board, either by the phone number or the website, who the certified specialists in taxation are in Alameda County. I'm sure there are plenty of them, and that number, in case you're interested, is 415-538-2100. And then the website is www.calbar.ca.gov. And go to the left of your screen for legal specialists and then look for your county, Alameda County, and then the specialty of taxation law and see if you might want to have at least an initial consultation with a certified specialist in taxation law.
Okay.
If you feel, you're still don't have a good answer. So good luck to you.
What's interesting is I've had several accountants over the years. None of them have paid any attention to this.
Well, then I suggest that maybe an accountant is not who you should rely on.
Right.
Yeah.
And it may be that the specialist in California won't have any knowledge about this severance tax, and you will have to talk to somebody in Colorado.
Yeah. And they may have, if you contact, and I don't have any contacts with the state of Colorado, but if you do some Googling, you may find out that there is some the State Bar of Colorado, and they may have a specialty type of designation also for different areas of law, including Colorado, and you might want to contact someone there.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Take care, Kate.
Take care. Bye.
What I'd like to do in the remaining minutes, and I don't want to shortcut either Melina or James who are waiting, and for both of you, I would suggest if you would, to call our 800 number, 1-800-525-9917, and ask to speak to Frank Adam, who's a tax lawyer and a CPA, because I wanted to cover with David a few issues regarding home office deductions, et cetera, because we only have a few minutes left in the program. So please, if you would, those of you who are waiting to ask tax questions, if you would call a lawyer number and ask to speak to Frank Adam, I'm sure Frank will try to help you. 1-800-525-9917. What are the issues that you're concerned about in the area of home office deductions? Because today, with the economy as it is, I'm assuming that there are more and more people who are trying to survive by doing their own little business or having a home office, or maybe their employer is requiring them to do work from their home. What are the issues that people should be aware of in terms of what can I deduct? Okay. Whether I own this home, can I deduct whatever the mortgage pay, what part of the mortgage payment there is, or the property taxes, or if I'm renting, what can I deduct as part of my normal rental? What are the issues?
Okay. Well, the first step is that if you are working at home because your employer says you should or requires you to, you need to get a written statement from your employer that says that you are required to have a home office. So that's one of the first steps, because that will impact if you're audited.
Mm-hmm.
The government can challenge you on whether or not you are entitled to this, because your primary place of work is usually where the employer's office is or premises are. And if they can't accommodate you at that location or want you to work from home for whatever reason, then they should provide a statement to that effect. The next element that you have to look at is that the area that you use as your home office has to be used exclusively for that purpose. You can't go in there at night and play games on the computer, because that's not exclusive use. It has to be exclusively used for the business purpose.
You can't take your a certain percentage of your bedroom, what you're saying,
or your
living room.
Well, you could, but you could only then if you have to use that space exclusively
the
office.
So you can take some room in your home or your apartment, and although you may not use the entire room for your home office, if you allocate a certain space and use that only for your home office, you're entitled to
To
whatever
the deductions. Right.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in a moment.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the next step is you have to find out the square footage of the area that's used exclusively for your business compared to the total square footage of either your home or apartment, whatever it is. So hypothetically, let's say that 10% of the space is used for your home office exclusively. So then if it is your personal residence and you own it, you're entitled to take that percentage of the mortgage interest payments, the property.
Not the principal.
Right, not the,
not
principal,
the principal,
but the interest portion.
All right.
The property taxes, the insurance on the home,
mm-hmm.
the repairs and maintenance costs, and that can include for the yard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The whole property,
okay.
whatever costs are
But
there.
Only 10% of the yard,
right.
huh?
Well,
okay.
10% of the total cost,
yeah.
your utilities.
Well, pardon me, yes.
The
yeah.
utilities.
Mm-hmm.
Your telephone, you could use, if it's all only for the business, then you can deduct that exclusively.
As a business expense.
As a business expense separately and not prorated for the 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're in an apartment, you would take 10% of the rent, 10% of the utilities, 10% of your insurance,
mm-hmm.
And what other costs there are associated with being in that property. So that's it. Now, if you own the property, you are also entitled to take depreciation on that part of
mm-hmm.
your home.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, however, and you ever go to sell the home, then you're not selling just a residence, you are also selling an office space, and that office space is not entitled to the exclusion you have for selling your home mm-hmm. from capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to think twice about whether or not they want to take the depreciation deduction.
Is there, generally speaking, if you're leaving depreciation out of this, if you own your own home, is there, when we talk about the various expenses that you've just mentioned about for your home office, does it turn out to be positive for people to do this as opposed to not doing it at all?
Well, certainly if they're entitled to take it, they should.
Okay.
All right. But you're not, you cannot deduct anything in the current year to the extent that the home office expenses exceed your net profit.
So let's say if you have a net profit of, let's say, $10,000, what can you do with it?
Well, then you could deduct up to that amount in the home office expenses.
I see.
And
if
you had more than that, then it gets carried over to the subsequent year.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I see. All right. So if your profit is $10,000, but your expenses are $12,000, you can take in this year a deduction of $10,000, and you can postpone or put into...
you carry over the $2,000 to next year.
To 2016. All right. One of the things I want to, again, remind all of you about is that we will be doing... David will be back with me, and we've done this for many, many years. We'll be back with me on the program in February. We don't have a specific date yet on this. Back in February, when we will talk about issues where you're really at that point focusing, really focusing on it. And some of you, by the way, who have called in, I appreciate that you have called in with your questions, your comments, the problems you're talking about. It's good that you don't wait to the last month and a half or whatever. So plan on putting on your calendar for 2016 in February that we will do this program. We will also, that same evening, we will have a number of CPAs who will be here for Call a CPA Night. So David will be with me on the air, and we'll be doing this live program in February throughout the country. But we'll also have a Call a CPA Night on our 800 number, where we'll probably have at least five, maybe six CPAs. We've also done that many years, and that will be available to you. So start thinking about your taxes. What we've tried to do on this program is give you some ideas of what you might want to do to try to reduce your taxes or get yourself ready for making sure that you haven't made mistakes this year. And, David, we have about 1 minute left. Do you have some parting thoughts
well,
for us?
Well, yes. If it's a good idea to the extent you can to try and plan what your tax liability is going to be. It may be that you can either accelerate some expense payments that will reduce your tax liability. If you have a particularly low income year and you would do better, generally, the best way to look at paying taxes is to have sort of even amounts from year to year of your net income. So maybe you want to accelerate some income this year if you can. So evening it out is usually the best approach for a long term. But to the extent you know what you can or have any control over it, then be aware of what you're doing.
David, thank you very much for joining us.
You're most welcome.
Great to have you back on the program. I look forward to seeing you in February 2016. The year is going too fast. David Hillman is a specialist in taxation law, also in estate planning, trust, and probate law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. His office is in San Rafael, California. Next week, or not actually next week, we're going to take a little time off for Thanksgiving. Our next live program on Your Legal Rights will be on December 2nd, and the topic will be family law, focusing on the visitation rights of grandparents with their grandchildren. My guests will be family law attorneys Erica Collins, Alexandra O'Neill, and B.J. Fathom. Your Legal Rights production program people are... the announcer operator, Joanne Marr. Joanne, thank you. And production assistant, Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. I thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and I wish all of you a great Thanksgiving. And please join us next time on Your Legal Rights on this public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.